Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Near the end of November, Tony Romo, the former starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, had a press conference to lay to rest some of the controversy surrounding his return back into the game. As you fans of football, or at least for sure fans of the Cowboys, know, he had been out of commission the bulk of the season due to an injury, and thus had been replaced at the starting quarterback position by a young player by the name of Dak Prescott. And Dak had done a phenomenal job replacing Romo at the quarterback position. In fact, leading the Cowboys to a, at that time, league-leading record of 8-1. And thus, as Romo became healthy again, the question on everyone's mind was, will the Cowboys put Romo back at the starting quarterback position or not? And it's a valid question, because usually in sports, there's kind of an understanding that you can't lose your starting position because of an injury. But usually in sports, players do not play as well as Dak Prescott had been playing. And usually in sports, backup players do not outplay their starting counterparts. But Dak had. And so this was no usual situation. And thus Romo held this news conference to lay aside any kind of controversy that might be brewing, and to state once and for all for everyone to hear that he himself recognized that Dak Prescott had, in fact, despite his own injury, earned the right to be the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. And this is what Romo said in his news conference.
You see, football is a meritocracy. You aren't handed anything. You earn everything, every single day, over and over again. You have to prove it. That's the way that the NFL, that's the way that football works.
You see, football is a meritocracy. You aren't handed anything. You earn everything every single day over and over again. You have to prove it. That's the way the NFL, that's the way that football works. Although Tony Romo was just talking about football in his statement, he could have been talking about any number of things, because that's pretty much the way that life works. That may not be the way that life is supposed to work, but that tends to be the way that it does work. At least that's the way we usually feel that life works. We so often feel that we have to prove ourselves over and over again, every day, to our spouse, to our children, to our parents, to our friends, to our employers, to our coworkers, to everyone around us. That's why we so often feel like we're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. Because we feel we have to prove ourselves each and every day in order to be loved or to be accepted. We feel as if life is a meritocracy. If we don't earn love from others, then we're not going to receive love from others. It's that feeling that controls so much of our thinking and our acting that makes our text this morning about the baptism of Jesus so fascinating. Because you see, at the baptism of Jesus, before he had begun his ministry, before he preached a single sermon or performed a single miracle, before he had done any of the things that the prophets had foretold that the coming Messiah would do, God, the Heavenly Father, said this of him. He said, "This is my Son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased." You catch that? God was pleased with his Son Jesus, and he loved him without him having done or having to do anything. He loved him from the beginning because that's who God is and that's what God does. Life with God is not a meritocracy. Jesus did not have to do anything in order to be loved by his Father. But because he was loved, he wanted to do everything possible to please his Father. And thus he went to a cross to bear our sin and our shame so that we might bear God's forgiveness and God's name. And the Father was pleased with his Son sacrificed. And he raised him from the dead. And he exalted him to the highest place. And he gave him the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee on heaven and on earth should bow and confess him to be Lord. But the starting point for Jesus' life was not based in merit, but in love. That's the exact same thing that's true of us also. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved us before we were born. Before we could ever earn or prove anything. He forgave us of our sins through the sacrifice of his Son on the cross, and won for us eternal life by raising him from the grave. That's why we can sing like we did in our sermon hymn today, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Catch the next line. "No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." But God does us one even better than that. Not only has he loved us before we ever were, but he also said to each and every one of us in our baptism, "You are my Son, you are my daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Because you see, in baptism, we are buried and we are raised with Christ. In and through that miracle, that sacrament of baptism, we put on Christ and we are covered over by his robe of righteousness. And so from that moment on, God looks at us always and sees us through the lens of the life and the work of his Son, Jesus. And so he always looks at us and says, "With you, I am well pleased." Even though so often we know in our own lives, in and of themselves, our lives don't merit God's approval. And we could never earn his love. Yet in us he is well pleased. Because we are covered by Christ. That's what our baptism does for us. It's what reminds us that we are covered by the merits of Christ. I know sometimes we may feel like we're living in a world in which every day we have to prove ourselves. Prove ourselves to somebody so we can be liked or accepted or hired or awarded or whatever. But we don't ever have to prove ourselves to God. And we don't ever have to try to earn His love. He loves us because of who He is. And He forgives us because of what His Son has done. And all of that He gives to us as a gift in and through baptism. That's why Martin Luther wrote these words of baptism. He said, "No greater jewel can adorn body and soul than baptism. For through it, we obtain perfect holiness and salvation, which no other kind of life and no work on earth can acquire." And thus the starting point for us each and every day, we get up in the morning as God's baptized children, is not thinking about what we're going to do today to try to merit God's favor. But rather, what are we going to do today to show God how grateful we are for what He's done for us? The weight of expectations, of merit, of achievement, that weight has been lifted off of us by the sacrifice of Jesus. Because of Him, God only sees us as those in whom He is well pleased. We don't have to do anything to merit His love, because we already have His love. I pray that this truth may free us all to live as the dearly loved children of God that we are. Simply free to be, freed from always having to do, for the sake of Jesus our Savior. Amen.